Log date, May 31st. I think. I don't know. I can't see the calendar from here. I've been trying to get back to sleep. I'm not sure how long it's been since I woke up. It feels like it's been hours. I had another nightmare. I was walking down a long hallway with no windows. It was filled with dim light, enough so that I could just barely see what was in front of me. I couldn't tell where it was coming from at all. Then there was this screeching noise, and all the walls slowly started to close in on me. I ran as fast as I could down the hall, even though I couldn't see any exit at the end of it. I guess it was just the only thing I could do. I ran so hard my lungs felt like they were going to burst, until the corridor went completely pitch black, until the only sound I could recognize was the shallow huff of my breathing and the desperate pounding of my heart in my chest. Until the walls and ceiling pressed up against me on all sides, squeezing my body until I heard my ribs snap and my skull crack. Yeah, it wasn't very nice. I figured I'd record for a bit, as I really don't have much else I can do. I'm not keen on getting out of bed, as it's usually harder to get back to sleep when I come back. I feel like I really need to go to the bathroom, but I haven't yet for the reason aforementioned. Just wish my brain would go back to sleep. Yeah, it's not going to go back to sleep until I go. Just have to lug myself up. Here we go. Don't understand why I can't just get some rest like a normal person. I guess it's a big assumption to believe that everyone can stay asleep once they fall asleep. Sylvia definitely gets to bed pretty late, so that's certainly not what would be considered a normal routine. It appears she is asleep now, though. I don't hear her moving around in any of the libraries, and not one door has a light peering out from under it. I honestly don't think she wakes up often when she gets to sleep for the night. It's rare we encounter each other when I wake up. I usually tend to stay out of her way when she's working at night. I remember once when I was little, I went into her room to ask for an extra blanket because I was cold. Found her sleeping, but her body was so still and her breath so quiet and slow it barely reached my ears. I thought for a moment she was dead. Well, I guess I'll shut this off for the night. Hopefully I'll get back to sleep after I try the bathroom. Kira, out. I'm back. Apparently, I'm not sleeping. Can't seem to shake up the feeling of that dream I had before. I mean, I know it was just a dream, and the memory of the image that I saw in front of me is already fading away. The fear, the screeching, the feeling of those walls pressing up against me on every side, the coldness of my own sweat pouring down my back as I fought for escape. It remains with me like a ghost. It feels like a part of me is still back in that hall, being crushed to bits. I was thinking me and Worldstopper could play a little chess or something. I've read and heard from other people that doing something outside of your bedroom for a bit before trying to go back to sleep is often helpful. To be honest, I'm not really sure. Whenever I do something like drawing or playing a game, it feels like I'm waking my mind up, not soothing myself back to sleep. I guess it would be distracting from my nightmare, though. Stars are very pretty tonight. With everyone's lights off, I can see them a lot better than I can when coming up here to play chess in the evening. It's like a million shiny little pinpricks of light piercing through holes in a black curtain. I wonder if Pluto is out tonight. Really? Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Lucia did mention it was one of her friends who was the expert on stars. Apparently, Pluto doesn't come out. At least according to Worldstopper. Not enough light reaches it. He would know better than me. He's been around for hundreds more years after all. Okay, I got all the pieces set up. Are you ready? Hmm. part of the game is pretty uniform. Not much is moved but pawns. Me and Worldstopper have been playing this game for a long time against each other. There are a lot of games we've been doing ever since I was big enough to actually comprehend the rules, but I believe I took an interest in this one when I was around 12. Yeah, he agrees, that sounds right. We found this old chess table in a closet, and I'm not sure if it came with the house or if it was Sylvia's before she moved here. She's never taken much of an interest in it, though. I can only assume it belonged to her family, if it was hers. Most of their important artifacts had to do with magic, though, even those important to family history. This chess table has never shown signs of acting up, and Sylvia has never stopped us from touching it. But anyways, we started using it for games. Worldstopper's always been really good at it. It's a game of strategy, and he's good at strategy. I know he has had many previous guarded who were as well. Just look in any history book for Cleopatra. Yeah, she was in a lot of my bedtime stories when I was little. So were a lot of your previous guarded, and those who knew them. Those stories were always better than anything I could find in a picture book on the library shelf or in the bulky classics Sylvia tried to read to me once or twice. When Worldstopper told me about them, it was something beyond words. The feeling of the warmth, compassion, and light a person bathed others in when they were around them emanating inside you took the place of any description of them. You could feel the pulsing beacon of a hero's determination so strongly it would send your own chest throbbing. To be told a story by Worldstopper is to be enveloped by a place, not by its buildings or streets or the bells that rung from the town hall, but by how it made one's heart and body react to being in that place. I do like to read, depending on the story, but I don't think any of them had felt quite as real as the ones Worldstopper has told me. I guess that is unfair. Humans don't communicate like you guys do. We only have words to express ourselves with if we want to tell a story. That's why I like listening to music. It seems like the closest thing to a feeling you can process with senses. Worldstopper made an interesting move over here, exposing his king like that. He has enough protection from the bishop, but things aren't looking good now. I think the fact it's 1 o'clock is getting to me. Believe it or not, the two of us are pretty evenly matched. Took years of practice, but still. Thank you. Worldstopper has pretty much been my sole chess opponent ever since I took an interest in playing. I've never gotten to go up against anyone else. The neighborhood kids? I'm not sure they'd be all that interested, even if it was safe to ask. Remember that movie we saw, with the side character who was in the chess club, who kept getting roughed up real bad? Yeah, I don't know why they make it out to be so uncool either. I mean, it takes a lot of skill to play, and to be good at it. I guess board games were a lot cooler in general during your time. Just don't think they'd be very interested. I mean, I don't exactly understand the things they do either. And it's not like I would be able to play with them often anyway. I'm not really supposed to get close to people. You're in danger again. Or not, I guess. See, he's pretty clever. Yeah, I do remember that. It was pretty close. Both you and I only had around 3 pieces on the board. The game had gone on for hours by that point, but despite that, I swooped in, knocked your rook off the board, and wow. Okay, apparently I wasn't watching there carefully enough. Good game, Worldstopper. Yeah, I know there will be others. I might want to make some cocoa first, though. I'm feeling pretty thirsty. I remember while I was getting my burger at the block party, I mentioned to Bella's dad how I like to drink hot cocoa. He asked me if I even liked to drink it in the summer, and when I said yes, he said that I was crazy, in a joking way, of course. But I still don't get it. I mean, isn't it normal for people to drink things like tea in the Damn, Sylvia probably left the closet door open. Oh, I haven't seen this in a while. Remember this, my 2,000-piece puzzle? We used to do this one all the time. Maybe we could do it again after I get my drink? Sounds good. Well, let's get the rest of these put up. Hey, I'm back. Me and Worldstopper got the puzzle set up. We found a nice flat place in the middle of the study floor here. The boards are pretty cold, so I got myself a blanket. Also makes the floor a bit softer, too. We've started the corner here. I've learned over the years that it's always best to start with the corner and edge pieces. The places they can go are narrowed down a lot more. This particular puzzle doesn't have a lot of variation in its picture. It's a great blue sky with a little ocean liner cruising near the bottom edge. It's actually the reason why we got it. The other ones we got at the bookstore were getting too easy for me. The first jigsaw puzzle I did was back at my kindergarten, I believe. I have this vague memory of sitting next to the window, laying out the pieces to some kind of castle on a warm carpet. Worldstopper sat next to me, watching as I fit the pieces together. We were in no rush. I had all the time in the world to figure out how to solve it. The next puzzle I discovered was in a closet here, similar to the one we stored this puzzle away in. It must have been Sylvia's at some point. Maybe when she was a child she enjoyed puzzles too. I have a very hard time picturing her little, though. Being small, dashing around at any pace faster than her slow glide across the floor, standing any less tall and stern than she does when carrying important objects she can't afford to drop. Her eyes growing wide and sparkly at the sight of something new is impossible to picture in my mind. For as long as I've known Sylvia, she's always looked at the world around her like she's been on it forever. Like she's seen everything it has to offer and nothing on it can faze her anymore. And like she's tired of it. I suppose that last part probably isn't far off. Anyways, me and Worldstopper did that one together a bunch, until I got bored of it. Then Worldstopper suggested I ask Sylvia about getting more puzzles. I hadn't really comprehended at that point that there were more puzzles. But we asked, and she took us to that bookstore on the way into town one weekend. In the back of the store, I discovered a towering shelf full of brightly colored boxes, each containing the pieces to a coral reef, or a garden of flowers, or even the Sphinx. The Sphinx puzzle was the first one I got, as Worldstopper had told me many bedtime stories about the majestic guardian the statue had been built in honor of. When I peeked my tiny head over the cash register and the clerk asked me why I had picked it, I told him what I knew of the statue, and he smiled and told both me and Sylvia that my historical knowledge was impressive. When I turned to Sylvia, I saw her nodding. I also saw that her lips were pressed together in a way slightly stiffer than usual. Me and Worldstopper did the puzzle, and when I grew tired of putting that one together, Sylvia took me out to buy another. I remember for a while they became rewards for completing all my schoolwork for the week. I eventually began leaning towards ones with more pieces, and ones with more uniform images. One time, they even had a plain white puzzle. I didn't pay it much attention, until Worldstopper pointed out the challenge it would pose. The weekend after that, I bought it. We probably did that one the most times out of all the puzzles. With no image, it was much harder to memorize how all the pieces went together. It's been a while since I've done any of them, though. It's pretty fun, and it's a challenge because it's been so long. Good job with that corner. Worldstopper has gotten what appears to be the top corner all put together. I think this might fill in some of it here. There we go. We've got the top left corner all done here. In other puzzles, the color of the sky would be fading to a lighter color this far down in the image, but it's still pretty solid on this one. The other piece that should be a good starting point is the boat, right down here. I've got the front half of the cabin assembled. I have a vague memory of asking Worldstopper about boats when we were working on this puzzle. This puzzle, or one of the other ones with an image of the sea. I had seen little drawings of sailboats in picture books, but I wasn't familiar with big cruisers. He told me that the next time I went into town with Sylvia, I could ask her to take me to the docks to see one. It wasn't that weekend, but a few weekends after she did take me to the docks, and I watched the huge barges slide out of the port and float across the harbor like great, sleepy beasts. I watched the boats a lot when I was little, but I've never actually been on one before. I know Worldstopper used to ride in boats on the Nile with his guarded. Yeah, it sounds really nice. Just sitting over the water and watching all the little fish pass by you as you float down the river. Watching all the little creatures that scurry across the river bottom. I know there were a lot of dangerous things floating around in there too, crocodiles and stuff. But it sounds like it was still very peaceful, as long as you had a sturdy boat. I remember when you first told me one of those boating stories. It was that one winter where I got really sick, right? Yeah. There was this one winter, my first one here if I remember correctly, where I got really sick. I don't remember if I had been playing outside in the cold or anything, but one day I just woke up feeling horrible. My forehead felt like a burning stone, yet my little body couldn't stop shivering. I stumbled out of bed, holding my blanket close to me. I hadn't made it more than a few feet towards my door before Worldstopper appeared to keep me from toppling onto the floor. He carried me back to my bed, then he went to get Sylvia. I had a terribly high fever. It was weeks before I could leave my bed again. The memories are foggy, but I remember a few clear bits. I remember I would still do my puzzles while I sat in bed. Sylvia bought me a breakfast tray I could arrange the pieces on. I remember looking out the window at night while Worldstopper held my hand. Out from beneath my droopy eyelids, I spotted a shape in the night sky sitting just above my windowsill. A line of three stars with a triangle branching out from the top and bottom of it. It looked like an hourglass, like Worldstopper's tattoo. When I pointed it out to him, he simply nodded. A warm wave washed over me. He found what I said endearing. It was only when Sylvia bought one of her books to me in the morning I found that the constellation had been named after him back in ancient Egypt. It's still the common name for it today. I believe some people are trying to change it now, though, because of Kronos. Yeah, I know. Despite the warm moments, those weeks were still pretty awful. Clear nights like the one where I saw Worldstopper's constellation were rare. Most of the time, winter winds raged outside and snow fell in such great sheets I had difficulty seeing the other side of the street. I sat in my bed in the evening and afternoon, staring out through what had once been my only reminder that there was a world outside of my little bedroom, but seeing only whiteness. On the worst days, my head spun with dizziness, and I threw up frequently. Sylvia's eyes darted around more than usual as she came in and out of my room. Her lips were pressed together tighter, her movements more swift. She was nervous. I didn't understand why then, but I do now. Sylvia had never taken me to a doctor because that would have required explaining me and creating medical records for me. I had never gotten a flu shot because the needle could make me feel threatened. I hadn't been warded against sickness because some spells can be detected by other magic users, and a child treating with magic instead of medicine would appear suspicious. She had done everything she could to keep me safe from the world's wary eyes, but sickness was now leaping in to devour me. I can only imagine how trapped she must have felt. She did take me to the urgent care after a few days of trying to treat me herself. I still remember her expression when they were taking my blood pressure. I knew I had to contain my fear, had to shove down the alarm I felt as that little tube of fabric constricted around my arm as far down as I could inside me so that it would not explode into a cry for help. But if I had not known, the look in her eyes would have kept me from it. A few days after taking my antibiotics, I began to feel better. My head didn't feel like it was on fire, and I could get up and go to the bathroom on my own as long as someone held my hand. That's when I was able to do the puzzles. I was able to read some books too. Sylvia didn't have a lot that were appropriate for kids though, so World Stopper ended up just telling me more stories. Telling me about the Great Nile River and the building of the Sphinx as I arranged empty boxes of finished puzzles and books with too many words I couldn't understand or pronounce near the lump of where my little feet popped up under the bed covers. Those old boxes became shops, the books, opened and propped up, became pyramids. Worldstopper even bought over a few trinkets from the bedroom shelf for me to decorate with. A marble is a statue for the park. The little wooden platform Sylvia used to display stones laid down edge to edge became roads and railways. Soon, I had made a small town that glittered against the plain quilt of my bed. Worldstopper asked me to tell him about it, so I did. I showed him the ice cream shop, where a man and his guardian spent their days serving yummy milkshakes. There was a labyrinth made of blocks that protected the pyramids, and little crystals that represented the woman who built it and her guardian. She changed the layout every day, and only she knew the solution to it. There was another man who made instant hot cocoa at a matchbox stand. A scientist who built rockets in a cardboard lab near the pyramids. A painter that could redecorate the stained glass windows in the jewelry dresser palace in the blink of an eye. And a musician who played songs on the balcony. He loved it. He loved it so much. He said it would be a beautiful place to live. And when you asked how all the people could do the amazing things they did, rearranging the labyrinth every day, repainting the murals, making cocoa instantaneously, I said that their guardians could stop time. Those all sound like they could be fun things to do. Run a hot chocolate stand and be able to make drinks in stop time. And working in a scientific field, you would have a lot more time to do equations. You're right, there are professional chess players. I think stopping time during a game would be cheating, though. That would be so fun. Getting to make yummy drinks or solve puzzles or play chess all day long. To go outside every day to a place that's yours, something that you worked hard to make or be a part of. To see other people who are grateful for or proud of the things you do or the things you make. During lunch, we'd get to close up the stand and we could take a long walk around town together. We could make friends at the lab during those breaks, chat about all the problems we've been working on, and exchange ideas. We could watch the sunset when we'd walk home. Find a place to live where we'd never have to drive to work. That might be harder. It's true, we could just stop time so we could do the commute at our own pace. If any of this were real, or even remotely possible. It hurts. Why do I want that so bad? I barely even think about it. I haven't thought about it until today. There's nowhere I can go where I could ever talk to people so openly, or be known. I know that all the kids in the neighborhood know my name, but that's different. That's only a small amount of people. It's not enough to be a danger. And I just see them when I go out shopping or out to eat sometimes. We don't get to really talk or hang out. If I got a job where I had to work with a team of people, they would want to hear about my home life and my habits. Not to mention when I get older, I still have no idea how we're going to stay hidden. Not having someone to guardian won't be a plausible excuse. And I get the feeling it wouldn't be the same if I didn't get to make my cocoa or drawings or equations with you. Come on. Let's finish this puzzle. You've got a bottom corner over there, right? Nice. Let's see, we need an edge piece. Hey, I'm back. I had to switch out the tape. Apparently I already went through my 90 minutes of audio. It's not super surprising. Me and Worldstopper finished the ocean liner puzzle. We laid it out on the study table. We did a really good job. I'm not quite ready for it to go back in the box yet. I'm going to try to go to sleep again. Sylvia isn't going to let me sleep late just because I woke up for a few hours. I put my cup in the sink, went to the bathroom, put all the little chess pieces back in the box. Everything should be good. Right now I'm looking for a good record to fall asleep to. I don't think I'm going to go back to bed without a good distraction. I got a lot of good ones here, not necessarily good for sleeping, though. We are not listening to Revolution 9 while trying to go to bed. This is a good one. There we are. I forgot how pretty this one was. I think I got it at the bookstore a few years ago. Yeah, we used to dance to it. Stand on your feet and hold your hands while you spun around. Wanna do it now? Yeah. Thank you for always being here. I mean it. Even with how scary things have been, it means everything to me. Thank you. I don't feel very strong. It doesn't feel like that's true. I know Sylvia doesn't believe it. I hope you're right. I don't think I really believe it, but I do hope you're right. It would be really nice.
Hey, thanks for listening to The Girl Who Could Stop Time. If you're interested in getting news and updates about our podcast, please consider subscribing to our socials at AkiraGWCST on Twitter,
at the-girl-who-could-stop-time on Tumblr,
and at thegirlwhocouldstoptime on Instagram. Also consider subscribing to our YouTube channel, at thegirlwhocouldstoptime. And check out our official website, thegirlwhocouldstoptime.podbean.com. The voice of Akira was done by Kira Fleming. The script for this episode was written by Kira Fleming.
The script for this episode was edited by Heather Fleming.
Title theme, Uncertainty, was composed and performed by Timothy Fleming.
The ending track, Home, was composed and performed by Timothy Fleming.
This episode was edited using Ferrite Recording Studio. We hope you enjoyed the episode, and we'll tune in for Akira's next entry.